All right, everybody. Well, welcome to the Flowing Sales Podcast. Today, we have Scott Lindberg with us. He was kind enough to take some time out of his day to chat with us about his experience in manufacturing, working with rep firms, and so forth. He was actually a recommendation from some other folks that I was chatting to with and had on the show. And so he comes highly recommended as having good stories. So welcome to the show, Scott. We're glad that you're here.
Thank you. Thank you. Lots of good stories. None of it has anything to do with the rep business.
All right. Maybe we can weave it in or something. So you're CEO of Quell. So we'd love to maybe just hear a little bit about Quell. You were talking to me earlier that I think you have 15 to 20 manufacturing rep firms you guys work with. So we'd love just to hear about that and then we'll get going.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah. Today I'm president of Quell Corporation. We're out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. But if I can, let me start with my background a little bit. So at the age of three, my folks started a manufacturer's rep firm in Colorado. It was called Lindberg Company. So I've been around the rep business since 19, well, I'm not going to tell you, since I was 3 years old, because I don't want to age myself. So I was around the rep business since I was 3 years old. I joined our family rep business in, now I'm going to age myself, 1983. I was in the rep business for 21 years, I believe. And left the rep business to join the dark side, the manufacturing world, with a semiconductor company called Advanced Power Technology. Did that for a few years. They got acquired by Microsemi. Started doing consulting with Quell in 2013, if I go back that far. And they had me come down and consult them in regards to manufacturers' reps. They wanted to look at using reps. And I went down and looked at Quell and said, this is the coolest product I've ever seen. All we got to do is hire reps around the world and we'll double, triple the sales. And that's what we've done since then. And what Quell does is we make an EMI RFI filter insert, and I'll show you one here. It goes into a connector. And I don't know if you can see it there or not, but there's chip devices inside of this, and it makes a standard connector, a filtered connector in a matter of seconds.
That's cool. So you were the guy, actually, you came into Quell when they had no reps, and you're like, we're going to go set up all these relationships, we're going to get reps, and we're going to move the product.
Absolutely. When I got down there, they had two people in sales trying to cover the world sitting in Albuquerque. And I said, that's great. They're two qualified people. But if we went to reps, you know, my background, I've been a rep as long as I've been a manufacturer now. And the rep world is by far and away the best way to go to market. You've got synergistic lines. And if I can tell it aside, a story about when I went to Advanced Power Technology, we took one house account because it was an account that I owned, that I was in all the time. And so we did that on a direct basis, and we went to reps around the rest of the West Coast. As a direct salesperson, I was not successful in that account because I only had one line to go talk about. And I was always going to talk about that same line. Same thing with Quell. If we were direct, we'd go and talk about Quell. First of all, I don't have the relationships because I don't have 15 synergistic lines, right? So the rep business, having synergy and being in that customer is your customer. And you have those relationships, and you go on and sell other products, where I was just selling one. So we quickly, in about 6 months, we turned that over to the rep and went back to the rep model all across the board.
That's a cool story. Can you tell me, they hired you to do this, right? So it sounds like there wasn't like internal resistance, like, oh, we're just going to do this internally. They were already on board with what you were doing, right?
I don't think Quell was on board. They were going to hire a rep. They didn't really know what they were getting into. And I actually went down and interviewed their first rep. Great sales guy, wrong market, but just the background and understanding the rep world and the rep business, I asked questions that they never would have asked. And it takes 18 months to 24 months before any salesperson can get going. And it took us about 24 months, and then it took off. Then they were on board.
All right. Well, there's a couple of things to unpack there, I think. One is, with the lead time like that, you know, 18 months, 24 months, how do you continue to convince them, like, this is going to work, right? Like, just give it time. How do you do that?
Well, you have to convince people to have a little bit of patience. And it takes the right people at the top of an organization. So the two founders of Quell had patience. And you could feel, and I don't like the word feel, you could feel that things were changing and there was a lot of activity. But you can feel things going well and you can see the activity, but if you don't see the samples, if you don't see the quotes and you don't see the orders, those results are going to come, but you do have to have patience. And a lot of manufacturers do not have that patience.
Well, again, a lot to unpack there. How do you, with that kind of a lead time, what are the things you look for to know that it is working in the way that you want it to, so that you're saying we're doing the right thing so we get the result in a year? Because if you're wrong, it's like, well, shoot, like now we just wasted 2 years. Like, what are the leading indicators?
Yeah. So the end result, right? The end result, what we both want as a manufacturer and a rep, is increased revenue. My revenue is sales. The manufacturer's rep's revenue is commissions. That's the end goal, right? To get there, you have to do the blocking and tackling. So the first thing we got to do is we got to get in front of customers and we got to tell them what we do, right? So we get in front. That's the first thing. So if you're making sales calls, if you don't make sales calls with your reps, they're making sales calls for the other 15 lines they have. So you got to get out and do that. You got to make sure you're meeting all the customers and training them, because that's the training grounds for most reps, right? When I'm out in front of the customer and I'm making the presentation, the salesperson for the rep is listening and going, oh, never would have said it that way. And so they learn a lot. So that's the first thing. The second thing for us is samples. Sample activity is really, really key. If we don't get a sample, everything we do is custom and unique to the customer. So unless I get a sample in their hands, they will not buy it, right? It's not like I'm selling a chip capacitor where I can just say, yes, I have an 0402 X7R cap. I've got to have a part that is specific to your needs. Once I get that in their hands, then I got a shot. So we measure samples. And then after samples, did we get approved? We follow up, we quote it, book it.
Got it. Okay. So you do have some leading indicators you're looking at there.
I watch our sample activity extremely closely. Every month I run a report on sample activity.
Sample activity. Okay. You mentioned as well, there were things that you asked and looked for when you're bringing on this initial round of reps that maybe other people wouldn't have asked, right? Because you'd been a rep for so long, you kind of knew what you were looking for. Can you help us with that? Maybe someone else is thinking like, oh, I'm going to bring on some reps. Like, are there any things you could say to help in that scenario?
There's a lot of things. So we just hired a rep down in Florida, and I went through, we had about 8 different companies that we talked to and kind of analyzed, right? And when I look at a new rep, I'm looking for how many lines do you have and how synergistic. I want synergistic lines that you're going to the same places that we're going. So that's one item. Another item is what markets are you in? I'm particularly fond of military, defense, and aerospace for Quell, because that's the majority of our business. So are you as a rep in military, defense, and aerospace? Or are you mostly industrial, or where you're at? So what markets do they fit in? What are their key customers? I also look at the number of people they have. Feet on the street, feet inside. Are they engineers? There's a lot of those things, right? So we just hired Conley and Associates in Florida. Very excited about having them on board. They just started here July 1st. We announced it in August. And they've got a bunch of engineers on the street, great culture, great fit, synergy-wise and market-wise. So excited to have them on board. There are a lot of good reps out there. And at the end of the day, it's about driving revenue.
Yeah, we've talked about, right, synergies of markets and customers, things like that. What do you look for in terms of, or maybe you don't look at this, but like structure of the rep firm, maybe approach of the rep firm, how they manage their rep firm, those kinds of things. Are those important? And what do you look for there?
So I do like to know compensation methods. Are you straight commission on accounts? Are you a pool method? Things like that. I do like to look at a succession plan. Are you involved in the ERA? Do you have CPMRs on staff? We talk about all of those things. And so I've got a big matrix that we talk about. If I go back to the first rep that I interviewed, he was a new rep. And a lot of times reps have great ideas. And I drilled down. I said, all right, so what you're trying to do is going to be very difficult because you're trying to cover a huge territory and it's just you. And his thought was I could hire a couple more people very soon. And I'm looking at his line card that he had. And I said, you don't have the income. Because I've been a rep, I understand what it costs in the rep business. You know, you get X dollars in commission. That's not profit. Commission is not profit. It's the revenue for the rep business. And they take that revenue and they pay salaries, but they also pay expenses, travel, entertainment, internet, everything you got to do. So it's having the rep background as a manufacturer has been invaluable.
Well, back to your story. I mean, it's a super interesting story. How long did it take to build up your rep workforce, right? Like you brought one on, like how long was the process to get everything in place?
Yeah, that's a good question. So when we started this, we started in 2014. We hired our first rep. Because of my background, being in the rep business and being active in the Electronic Reps Association for, since I was, I'll say three, I knew a lot of reps around the country. So I knew folks, and I'd look at their line card and say, all right, you'd be a good fit. And so starting off, we were begging for reps, right? We needed bodies. And so I called some of the folks that I knew that had synergistic lines, and I said, hey, Bob, would you be interested in our product line? And I showed them what we have. And our product is very unique, and most people haven't heard of it. And once you tell the story, it kind of sells itself. And so I was able to fill the rep network pretty quickly in 2014. We probably had more than half of our reps signed in 2014. We went a little bit slow. We didn't go and hire 10 reps on day one because the organization wasn't ready. I mean, we weren't ready to pay commissions. We weren't ready to take all the phone calls. We weren't ready to travel. So you don't do it all at the same time. You do two or three now, travel with them, do two or three later. And I think within 12 months, we probably had 10 of our reps signed at that point.
Got it. And you said most of this came from your network, like people you knew, or maybe you knew someone that knew someone, kind of a thing?
Right. Yeah. Most of the folks we started with early on were folks that I knew from previous, working at APT, Advanced Power Technology, or Microsemi. And then I did some consulting for a filter company. And so I knew those folks. And so I would call, for example, Wallace Electronics in the Southeast. I knew them. They sold well for us when I was doing some consulting at a different company. And I called them up and I said, hey, you've done a great job. Do you want to try Quell? And I said, here's what we do. And so it was a relatively easy sell because our product is so unique and fun.
That's cool. Do you recommend people maybe do that? Like, again, a manufacturer's thinking about going the rep model. Are they better served hiring a consultant, for example, that knows people in the space to set up a program like this? It seems like there's lots of just kind of latent knowledge that is helpful, right, to do it.
Yeah. So I helped a company doing some consulting with them about the rep business. And I didn't charge for it as a consultant. It was just a friendly relationship. And I said, look, if you're going to hire reps, don't hire 10 at a time. Start with three, figure out how to work with them. And when the rep model fails, and it does fail, when the rep model fails, typically I don't think it's the rep's fault. I think it's the factory's fault because we didn't do the right things to support them. So a lot of manufacturers hire a rep, say, here's your brochure, go out and sell something. They're not trained. They're not ready. And out of sight, out of mind, right? So if a rep has 15 lines, 10 lines, 20 lines, whatever it is, somebody's calling them and saying, hey, what's going on with this account? What's going on with this account? And so manufacturers need to support their reps. They need to go out and travel. I have had reps that have fallen, right? Have not done the job. And I typically point at me. First, I point at me. What am I doing wrong? What can I do different to support you? And typically, we're pretty good at what we do. And more often than not, they say, no, it's my fault. I got to do this. I said, well, let's come down and travel. And so I have a particular rep in mind, I won't mention any names, who, you know, wasn't doing the job, and had a conversation with them. And within 6 months, things have turned around. And today they're just flourishing. And it's just given support. It's given support. And again, I always point at me. And I learned that from my wife.
That's right. Yeah. You learn a lot of important things from your wife. What was it in that conversation? Was it simply like they needed more attention, so you were more top of mind? Or was there something that came out of that conversation where you're like, oh, like we're missing this thing that we need to help better?
A little bit of talking to the wrong people. That was part of it. There was some other things within the organization that they were struggling with, just interpersonal problems. Life happens. So we got to talk about that. And so we worked through that. And then I said, what can we do? Let's get this thing going again. Because we were doing well when we started and then we fell off. So I really think it's travel. The big thing that solves anything is go and visit. And as long as you have a good relationship with somebody and they want to travel with you and you want to go make sales calls and make some money, it works. This is still a people business, no matter how much people are trying to get out of it.
It certainly is. It certainly is. And that's one of the cool things I think about it is it's so like face-to-face and people-driven, kind of in an age where everything's going digital. There's still this component that's so that you almost can't, I mean, not that you want to escape it, but you can't escape the personal interactions in the industry.
You can't, and we got to drive it. We got to drive it as manufacturers. We got to drive it as reps. And the reps are the feet on the street. They're in the customer. They know them personally. they're the ones who really drive that relationship.
That's good. Well, tell me, you mentioned Quell has just a super interesting story, a really cool product, right? And so you guys are a really good fit for the rep model. Like, we have to do the rep model. It's going to go crazy. Are there certain manufacturers where you're like, well, maybe they shouldn't do the rep model? Or is there some questions you need to ask yourself as a manufacturer to figure out, is the rep model for me? Do I need to do this, or maybe stay away?
So one of the things I do is I teach at the CPMR course down in Austin, Texas. That's the Certification for Professional Manufacturers Representatives. And I talk about manufacturers, and all manufacturers are different, right? And there's reasons manufacturers go direct. And I heard of a connector manufacturer that recently went direct. And the reason they went direct is they wanted more control. They wanted more control over the salespeople. And you absolutely have more control over salespeople when they report directly to you and they have nothing to do but sell your product, right? So every day I get up in the morning and all I do is sell Quell. From my standpoint, there is no better way to go to market. I mean, as I mentioned, I was direct on one account and going in and saying, do you want to buy my EE seal from Quell every week doesn't work because you miss the G2 that you get when you sell your capacitors or switches or filtered components or shielding. You miss that. And so as a rep, when I went into our largest account, and I wouldn't go in and start selling my largest product line, I'd go sell the other product lines because they're going to talk about that. They knew that I had that line. They say, hey, while we're talking about switches, I need to talk to you about this, right? So-and-so is working on this program and you better go talk to him. I didn't get that G2 as a direct person. I really do not believe there's a product line that shouldn't be managed through manufacturer's reps. The synergy is so important. The relationships are so important. And there's no way, I mean, you think about the cost of it. If I went direct for Quell, how many salespeople could I hire? I might be able to hire 4 around the country. Right now I have, with my reps and distributors, I probably have 200 people that can sell Quell. So I can't do it. And I can't have those relationships, those one-on relationships that the Conley folks in Florida have with their folks, their customers. They're going hunting with them. They're going fishing with them. They're seeing them daily. I can't do that with 4 people.
Yeah. Let's get back to the story. I think it's really interesting, especially since it seems like it's been such a windfall for you guys. And I don't know if you can share numbers or not, but if you can give us a sense for the impact that the rep model has had, right? Like, you were there for the entire journey. What was it like? Was it sort of a steady growth? Do you hit a hockey stick and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, this is really cooking now? Like, what happens, right?
Yeah, Quell is a subsidiary today of Heiko Corporation, which is out of Hollywood, Florida. So I can't share any numbers, but I will say when we started, our sales were here and we just took off on a very consistent growth pattern until COVID. We're market driven, but we're not market driven. So when COVID hit, we had a little bit of a slide because aerospace is a big part of our world. So we slid a little bit in the COVID 2 years, but then we kicked it back up and we're on that growth curve again. One of the things I think people fall back on, both reps and manufacturers, is, oh, our business is down because the market's down. I'm not a market's down, oh, woe is me kind of guy. We're not dependent on the market. We're dependent on us. The more we design in, the more we're going to grow. And we just got to keep our foot on the pedal and keep designing product in, keep sampling product. I measure those samples every day or every month. I measure quotes every month. I measure shipments, backlog, the key metrics to make it happen. So it's been a great growth curve.
That's good. That's good. As you mentioned also, you know, you got to start slow. You know, maybe initially you don't have the infrastructure you need to really support the rep is what you're saying, right? So what goes into that infrastructure? You know, I'm sure it's cultural as well as operational, maybe technological. Like, what are the things you should think about to build what you need to make it work?
That's another great question. So when you're just starting in the rep world, right, you don't have any reps out there. First of all, you need to understand what reps do, right? And you understand what makes them successful. So the company that I consulted with, I said, hey, look, start with 2 or 3 reps and get a feel for what they're doing, right? And you have got to go and travel with them. And you're going to take the incoming calls and you got to learn what those calls are going to be. They are not experts in your product line. Again, all I do all day long and every manufacturer, all they do is sell their product. So I'm an expert at our product. And you as our manufacturer's rep, you have 15 lines. You're probably not an expert in any of it, but you've got enough to sell the product, right? And so You know, there's training. You have to train. People sell what they're comfortable with. They sell for people they like. And so you've got to train and train again and train again. And I remember in my rep days, I was learning about a product and heard it the first time. And for the, you know, 30 slide presentation, after five slides, my mind was scrambled because it was so technical. I heard it again. I got through slide 10. Heard it again. I got through slide 15. After I heard it five or six times, I go, I think I got this. Still was never going to be as good as the factory engineer. So training is really, really important. Making it easy. So from a manufacturer standpoint, remember the old Staples easy button? I don't know if it's old, maybe it's still there. Make it easy. If you can make your product line easy and fun to sell, I mean, it's going to help your manufacturer's reps. They're going to go do it. What's hard? When you make stuff hard, I need a forecast monthly. I need monthly reports. That's not the right way to go about it. We don't even ask for reports from our reps. We send a report out and say, here's what we're tracking. You can send it back if you want, but I'm not asking for it, right? I want you to know what we're tracking. We follow up very well to make sure that the right things are taken care of.
Interesting. I hear from a lot of reps that I talk to now, they're getting asked for more reporting, right? Like call numbers and all this, like metrics and things like this, more and more they're getting asked for that. You're saying like, don't do any of that because it just bogs down the rep. There's better ways to make sure the rep's doing what they should be doing, right?
Yeah, look, I think reports are important if used correctly. And I think the rep should do their own report. They should have their own report that they use to manage their business and drive their sales and revenue. If they want to share that with me, great. But me asking for a report, if 15 manufacturers ask a rep for a report every month, those are going to take them a half day every month to do. So there's a quarter of the month that's gone, right? I want our reps out in front of the customers. I want them out selling. I want them handing out samples and swag and brochures and telling the Quell story. I don't want them doing reports. I want them selling stuff.
Yeah, right on. Well, we've hit time. I want to be respectful of your time. I know you got lots of Quell to sell and you've been kind to give me 30 minutes here. Is there anything you'd want to leave off on, advice, just any last words for our listeners that are looking for either on the rep side or on the manufacturer side?
You know, it's all about driving revenue, right? And having fun doing it. I think you need to make it fun, drive the revenue. And if there's one thing that I would say that helps drive revenue, it's great follow-up. If you do great follow-up, you'll tell somebody so you communicate. And if you tell somebody to communicate, you'll drive your relationships both with your customers and your factories, and then you're going to drive revenue. So that's it. Hey, it was fun talking with you. Enjoyed it.
This was great. I think this is a great discussion. I really like the fact that, I mean, you've lived it, right? You were a manufacturer rep. Now you're in the manufacturing world. You built the entire like rep network for the company. So there's a lot of, I guess, weight behind your words. And so I think this would be a great one for the audience. So I appreciate your time.
All right. Hey, thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it.